I tell you what, as I'm standing there and you feel the presence of God, sometimes you just don't know what to do. Man, like right now, I just have all these goosebumps, holy goosebumps going up and down my body. But I think what we're going to do here and what we're going to show you this morning is going to just change how you think about worship. Because what I feel that God has placed in my heart is going to give us victory as we move into this Easter season. So let me just start off with a question. How many of you here love to celebrate? There's just nothing like celebration with family. You guys enjoy family? For my family, last year was a great year of celebration. A lot of amazing things happened in our family's life. My wife and I celebrated our 20 years of marriage. Hey, praise God. My parents celebrated their 38th year in ministry at the same church. I told Pastor Wayne, that there's some loyal blood that runs through us, so he's going to have to figure that one out. I might be here for a while. My daughter graduated from high school, moved to Florida to go to college. See, I know none of these things are new. All of us has been through these things. But there's individual celebrations that we all enjoy. But how many of you know when you start adding a town, a community, or a nation, celebration becomes a whole lot better? You know that, right? It's amazing when you bring a gathering of people together to celebrate. We have a picture I want to show you here just to kind of give you a thought of what celebration looks like. Check this guy out. This is a coach who coaches the Sutherland soccer team in the Premier Soccer League. They were playing at Newcastle, a soccer team that they should have never beat. They end up winning by 2 goals. Look at the guy's face. As I looked at that and I was reading that article about the underdog, I thought about us as followers of Jesus. You see, many of us should not be here this morning. Many of us come out of situations we should have never existed out of. But for some reason, God looked down with mercy and said, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to put your life back together, and I'm going to do something with you. So many of us should be looking like this soccer coach, right? But there's something bigger when a nation comes together. Let me show you a couple pictures. World War II, this is one of my favorite subjects to read about. I love the bravery of men and women who would stand against what's wrong and go give their lives to sacrifice for our nation. But I want you to look at this. Here are our boys are coming back from fighting the Axis power. They're marching down in a parade in New York City. I want you to just focus on the crowds. Look at the crowds. Can you imagine what the sound must have been like? Can you imagine the screams and the adulation of all the people as those boys were marching back home? Well, to bring it in today's time, just a few weeks ago, our Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl, right? I put that in for Alan Lee if he's in here. I won't do this ever again. I think we just let the Holy Spirit leave the place. But I want you to notice this picture. Look at all these people in orange. They look like leaves on the ground, don't they? Can you imagine what the sound must have been like? Can you imagine the excitement in the air as they won that Super Bowl? All right, let's go to the next picture. Here in a couple months, we're going to be celebrating a new president. We're going to have a new inauguration. Look at this picture. Look at all these people. Can you imagine? I will just tell you one thing. I will not be there because I don't like big crowds. That's one reason why I will not shop with my wife when it goes to Black Friday, right? That's why it's called Black Friday. But look at these crowds. And you're saying, Pastor Jason, what's the point in all this? Well, there's an individual celebration and there's a public celebration. When we go to the first Palm Sunday, I want you to understand it was a public celebration. People were coming from everywhere for Passover, all over Israel. They were gathering together. But something was going to happen that week that would revolutionize and change all humanity. Well, you know what? Instead of just saying it, I want to show you. Watch this.
Set out for Jerusalem. Thousands were heading there for the festival of Passover.
Thank you. Where is he now?
He's just entered the city on a donkey.
See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, humble, and riding on a donkey. Where's he headed?
Towards the temple.
He must not interfere with Passover. God will bring his wrath down upon all of us. And who knows what Pilate will do if the crowds run out of control. Nicodemus, go with Malchus. If he enters the temple, watch him. Do not blink.
In peace, Barabbas.
I love this video because it sets the phase of what I want to talk about this morning. But I want to give two premises before we jump into the scripture. The first premise I want to give you this on this day is, on this celebration, Jesus celebrated his victory before facing the cross. Now, I just showed you pictures of celebrations that took place with nationality, people coming from everywhere, World War II, a team wins a Super Bowl, inauguration, people were coming from everywhere. That was after the fact. Let this sink in for a second, because I'm excited about this. Jesus was doing something different to show us the importance of faith in our life. Jesus was about to do something that was going to change the world, but on his terms, he's going to celebrate a week early just to show you who he is. Why can we come in his church and celebrate? Why can we come in his church and worship? Because we serve a God that revolutionized everything. Let me show you this. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem on this day, the Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 12, look what the scripture says. The next day, a what? A great multitude that had come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. The next verse says this, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, come on with me, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Then the next verse says this, and Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, and look what the scripture says, as it is written. Then a verse says this, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. That's Zechariah 9:9. Next verse says this, his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Then verse 17, therefore the people who were with him when he had called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. Verse 18, for this reason the people also met him because they had heard he had done this sign. And I love this verse. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing what? Nothing. Look, the whole world, the world has gone after him. As Jesus rode into Jerusalem on this day, there was excitement in the air. There was a sense of celebration. It was so thick, you could feel it. What just happened just a few short days, Jesus showed his power over death by raising Lazarus from the dead. Now get this, I want you to understand, as Jesus walked on this life, he was not in a war with the devil. He already owned the devil. Are you with me? He already proved his power by healing diseases, by raising the dead to life, by removing shackles off of people that were demonic oppressed. He wants you to know he was in full control of the situation. But he's going to show us something this morning to cause us to praise him a little bit louder today. You see, they thought Jesus was coming to establish an earthly kingdom. They thought that he was going to come and remove Rome, the Roman law, from their life. But Jesus was coming to do something even bigger than an earthly thinking. He was coming to establish a spiritual kingdom that would set you and I free from the power and the clutches of sin. So this brings me my first point. Point number one, you need to understand this morning on that first Palm Sunday, Jesus was no victim. Jesus was the victor. Listen to me now. Many times throughout the New Testament, we read where Jesus would say that his hour had not fully come. How many has read that during the one-year Bible studies? You're reading that. And then those whom he would heal, he would tell them, don't tell anybody about me. But on this day, Jesus deliberately walks out in front of the whole world and shows humanity who he is, for his hour had come. Listen to me. The Bible goes, this other thing I want to tell you here. Jesus drew attention to himself. Of course, Jesus was about to face terrible things. Yes, he was going to face a crown of thorns. Yes, he was going to have nails in his hands and his feet. A whip was going to rip his back open. He was going to face people spitting on him, throwing rocks at him, calling him all kinds of names. But Jesus knew the full situation, and he was in full control, and he was going to do it on his terms. Listen to this. As he walked in there, I believe he was thinking John 10, verse 17, as he looked at the religious leaders and the Romans and Satan himself. Look what the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore, my Father loves me because what? I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Now, before I read on, it's almost like he just had the microphone and said it and dropped it and walked off the stage. Okay, then it goes on and says, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to what? Take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. He wants you to know today, when he walked in Jerusalem on that very first Palm Sunday, he was the victor. He was no victim. He knew exactly what he had to do, and his love for you was so great, he went forward knowing he was going to die. I love this. To the Jews and the Pharisees, they should have understood what was happening because they were versed in the scriptures. They should have knew that Jesus was coming to fulfill the prophecy of Messiah, but they missed it, didn't they? To the Roman soldier, they had to be thinking, what is going on with this guy? This guy's riding in like a Roman hero. You see, in their culture, when a Roman hero would come in from the battlefield, everybody would run and greet them with palm branches and sing praises and drop the palm branches at their feet, singing the victorious songs. They had to be thinking, what is going on here? And then there was Satan. I like the part in the video when Barabbas came out there and tried to start something and tried to stop Jesus' mission. All through Jesus' life on this earth, Satan was always there to try to stop him, wasn't he? But you notice in the video, I love how the guy portrayed, he just puts his hand out and just stopped everything. You see, Jesus was in full control of the situation. He fully understood the day's significance, and he was drawing attention to himself because his hour had come. But don't get this. He was no victim. He was the victor. That's why when we come in here and you're new and you're thinking, what is going on in this place? That's why we can celebrate, because we serve the victorious Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So if Jesus was the victor, what was he the victor of? Well, let me tell you. Jesus is the victor over death, hell, the grave, and yes, Satan. The Bible says that they were crying, Hosanna. This word means both a word of praise, but it also means save now. What these people were saying was, Lord, do it now. Relieve us of the Roman clutch of their fists. Relieve us of the oppression of the Romans. But Jesus was about to do something different. Are you with me? He looked through the adulation. He looked through the cries. He was not here to accomplish something that's earthly, which the Bible says moth and rust will make it decay. He was here to die on a cross. He was not going to be placed on a golden throne. He was going to be placed on an old rugged cross. He was not going to receive a crown of jewels. He was going to receive a crown of thorns. So why did he come? Well, Luke 4 gives us the answer. Luke 4, verse 18, Jesus is filled with the Spirit here, and he stands up into the church, like our church today. He stands up and says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to what? Preach the gospel to the poor. Do you guys remember in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor? And remember, you hear that? Listen, guys, before we received Christ, we were spiritually bankrupt. We reach into our spiritual pockets, and the only thing we can find is lint balls. How many of you guys have lint balls in your pockets? Maybe I'm the only one. You know, you're trying to reach in for that dollar, and you pull all this lint stuff all over your hands. Some of you are like, I can help you with that. Okay, tell me after church. But listen to me. He came to the poor. For you that are saved today, you're no longer poor. You have the kingdom of heaven. You have everything that you need. You are rich in the eyes of God. Listen to this. He has sent me to what? Heal the brokenhearted. If I had a piece of pottery and I dropped it on the floor, it would crack all over the stage. How many has ever tried to put something together that's fell on the floor and it's cracked? How many of you know sometimes you can't find all the pieces, but not with Jesus? He found every piece that Satan tried to destroy in your life, even the ones that fell into a place that could not be found by human eyes. Jesus found it, and when he put you back together, he made you into a brand new person, and you can't even tell where you have been in the past. Okay, we're getting here. We're getting here. Let's go to the next verse. Then what did he do? To proclaim liberty to the captives. Oh, you know what? There's a lot of people captive today in their addictions. There's a lot of marriages are in captivity today because they don't understand that there is the answer that can solve that marital problem, right? And how many's thankful that our pastor stood over the last several weeks and taught us about stronger families? You guys love Pastor Wayne? Can I say one more thing? Can we give our worship team a big hand for our leaders in worship? Sometimes I get worried about Pastor Steve. I think he's going to pass out up here sometimes. But look at this. He brought recovery of sight to those that are blind. What's the song say? I was once lost, now I'm found. I once could not see, but now I can see, right? To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. I want you to listen to this. Isaiah 42 is what Jesus is preaching from. And it paints this graphic picture of the lost. They're like people who are incarcerated in a spiritual jail all over the world, kidnapped by the devil, with no one to say, give them back. But I have a message for the lost today. I have a message for you if you're lost this morning. It's called the good news. There was someone who fought for their cause. He was the only perfectly sinless man who could do it, and his name was Jesus Christ. Their prison doors have swung open by the power of the cross. And the lost must hear, come out, come out. Your pardon has been purchased once and for all. Listen to me, the prison doors are open today. Listen, if you're here this morning and you're being fought by the devil with addictions, you're being fought by the devil with thoughts, if you're being fought by the devil with anger and all these things, I want to tell you, the prison door is open. Get up and walk out of it in the name of Jesus. Okay, let me go further here. Let's go digger now. Listen, when Jesus was on the cross, and we're going to learn about this next Sunday, but when Jesus was on the cross, he knew that all things were completed. Everything was taken care of from the cross. Here's what he said in John 19, verse 30. He said this. He said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. You see, Jesus was not going to die because he was in charge. Until he knew everything was accomplished that the scripture would say. Until he knew every single one of you sitting in this worship center today had freedom and a ransom. Until he knew every person in this place, on this world, was taken care of. Then he said, it's finished. Then he died. But he didn't stop there. You want some more? Not only did Jesus make sure there was a complete ransom. Let me show you what the scripture teaches. In Colossians 2. Verse 13, and you, everybody say me, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Everything's forgiven. Next verse, look what it says. Blotting out all the handwritings of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. What did he do? He nailed it to the cross. In other words, he took the law and he nailed it to the cross. Many of you have been reading the one-year Bible, right? And we've been through the Old Testament, Leviticus. How many of you guys have read some of those things and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm glad we don't have to do that today. It's so funny as I stand at the Next Step kiosk and I listen to new believers, and the first question they've been asking me, does God hate animals? Because when you read some of these things, you're like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? Slitting the throat of lambs and cooking their innards, the Bible said. All these things, and you're like, my goodness, what's going on? But here's what you got to understand. Sin costs something. A price had to be paid so that sin could be ransomed. And Jesus sacrificed himself so that you and I can find hope and freedom in a new way of living. He took it to the cross. He nailed it to the cross, and it didn't stop there, though. Look what the next verse says. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I would encourage you to go to the Bible and look up these words. And I want to show you. Can I show you what these verses mean? He made a show of them publicly. My son, Austin, can you come out here, buddy? Come here, big guy. This is my son, Austin. So we got some karate gear so I can show you what's going on here. All right, son, pretend like you're mad at me and you're gonna like strike me. I said, son, you don't have to really hit me. Yes, we'll go to wherever you want to for lunch today. Okay. But I wanted to show you this picture. So the best way to show you, took this karate outfit, look at him. I mean, he's ready for battle, right? And this was the devil, right? Yeah, come on. Ooh, I'm just kidding. Here's what happened. When Jesus died on the cross, you know what happened? He went to the devil. Stripped all of his power away from him. Wait a second. Now, instead of the devil having anything, God gave me the breastplate of righteousness. He gave me the helmet of salvation. He gave me the shield of faith. He gave me the sword of the Spirit. Here's the problem with many of us in this room. The only thing Satan can do is tell us words. And the sad thing is everyone in this room has listened to him. And we said defeated, not understanding he has been stripped of everything that can come against us. My dad used to say this, the devil had his teeth knocked out. The only thing he can do is gum you to death. But until the church realizes the power that we have in Jesus, we'll continue to do nothing with our lives. But when we get this in our head and Satan comes against us, he has no authority, he has no power when you are in Jesus Christ. Thank you, son. I appreciate it. Can we give him a big hand? Let's go to this next picture. This is one of my favorite pictures. It's showing Jesus with the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Now, did he really take keys? No. What he's trying to show you is this. I have taken everything from Satan. He's the only one that don't have keys to his own home. Isn't that sad? I've taken everything. And we've got to get this into our head, because here's what I feel you need to understand. Sin has no power over you anymore. We do not have to fear death. We don't have to pop sleeping pills. We don't have to be afraid to wake up the next morning if we're going to die, because here's the thing. He's already overcome the grave. He's overcome death. We have been set free. But get this in your head. Jesus has stripped all means from Satan against us. So that brings me to my third point. Why are we getting excited in here? Because if Jesus is the victor and not a victim, if Jesus is victor over death, hell, and the grave, and the devil, the third thing is why we get excited. Jesus' victory is our victory. Listen to me now. Through the cross, God has provided everyone in this room a new identity. The problem with the church I see today, we're stuck at the cross. We keep getting saved over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it's important to continue to pray. It's important to continue to come to the cross. It's important to ask God for our needs. But what we got to understand, there's a whole new way of living that we've got to get into. That's why Pastor takes our church on 21 days of fasting. That's why our pastor has challenged us with the one-year Bible. That's why our pastor has a heart for lost people. That's why Pastor wants us to do serve days and to go into this community, because there's a whole new way of living that we've got to take the good news out and quit sitting on benches and crying about everything that happens in our life and understand it's been taken care of this morning. Some of you are sitting here today and Satan has beat you up so bad you can't even get to your dreams anymore. Some of you are sitting here and you feel like your marriages are over. Some of you are sitting in here, you have addictions that you can't get out of. I'm here to tell you, it's already been defeated. Get up and do something about it. Let me show you some things that Jesus has done for us. Through the cross, this new identity, the first thing that I want to show you is God has given you a new nature. I love Romans 6. Sin has no more power over you. You are no longer a slave to sin. Are you hearing me this morning? When you start getting that addiction feeling, or when you start getting those temptations, some of you just need to stand up in the mind of Christ and say, Satan, shut up. Some of you is going to have to start taking the word of God and start quoting it. That's why Pastor Steve is up here trying to get you to stop, because there's power in our words when we speak the things of Christ. There's power in our words when we quote scripture and sing praises to him. It causes demons to tremble. I pray you guys get so filled with the Holy Spirit and so on fire for God that when you get up in the morning, all of hell goes, oh no, they're getting up. Some of you got to get some confidence. I think we have a confidence problem in the church. It's time we start living in our new identity, knowing who we are. Hey, don't blow me off. I see some of you like, oh, big deal. You don't understand what I'm going through. He does. And he did. He took it to the cross. It's done. You have a new nature. Look, we're no longer slaves of sin. We are partakers now of this divine nature. We can think the thoughts of Christ when we read his words. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. The word of God has brought freedom in my life. Not only has he given us a new nature, he's given us a new home, a new kingdom to live in. In Ephesians 2:6, look what it says here. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him where? Some of you need to open your eyes and see the heavenly places that you're at. Some of you need to start having some bravery and start speaking out in Christ's name and start declaring things and believing things, that God will save your kids, that God will provide your means, that God will take care of you, and start believing it, because we're no longer a part of this world as sons and daughters of Christ. We're part of another world where sin and evil cannot touch. Are you with me? Not only do we have a new home and a new kingdom, we have a new ruler and Lord of our life, and his name is Christ. Look what it says here in Colossians 1, verse 13. No longer do we need to be ruled by the flesh and the devil. He who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into his kingdom of his who? His dear son. Are you liking this morning? Are you excited? Some of you are saying, man, what's going on in this place? This is why. Because we're discovering who we are in Christ. The next thing I want to show you here. Not only do we have a new ruler and Lord, but we have a new mind. You see, I truly believe in this day and hour, the mind is the greatest battlefield right now. There's nothing else Satan can do to us since the cross. So what does he do? He starts tempting us. He starts saying words that make us fearful. He starts saying things to get our dreams away from us and make us do things we shouldn't do. But look what the Bible says. If any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature. Oh, things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Not only has he given us a new mind, he's given us a comforter and a teacher. In John 14, verse 26, I love this. The comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall what? Teach you all things. He don't leave you by yourself. He don't leave you on your own. He's there for you. Not only did he give us a comforter and a teacher, I'm going to give you two more here. He's given us victory over Satan. We read this scripture already, but I want to read it again. God disarmed the principalities and powers that were raised against us. And what did he do? And made a bold display and a public example of them. That's good stuff. In triumphing over them in the cross. He stripped them of everything. I encourage you to go look those words up and look what the Greek meanings are. You'll start shouting. We'll probably hear you here at the church on Monday if you start shouting from your home. Not only has he given us victory over Satan, but he's given us victory over death. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, it says this: our Savior Christ, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, immunity from eternal death to light through the gospel. Listen, we don't have to be afraid to die anymore. You say, Pastor Jason, what's going on in our world today? Listen, we don't have to be afraid. God is in full control of it. Pastor Jason, what if we die for our faith? It's okay. Only thing they could do is take our bodies, but they could never take our lives, because we'll be eternity with God forever. Now, how many remember the coach picture at the beginning? Check him out. This coach should have never won the game. Everything was going against them. They didn't have the right players. They said they should have never won the game against this Newcastle soccer team that they were playing. And guess what happened? They won by 2 goals. When you read the article, he's like, I can't explain it. And I'm sitting here thinking, that's where we are today as followers of Jesus. That's how we should be acting when we come to church, because we shouldn't be here. Some of you should have been dead. Some of you should have been in a situation that you never got here. But God loved you so much that you won the game through the power of the cross. Jesus loved so much, and he cared for us so much, that he came to this earth on a rescue mission, dying on the cross so that we could be saved. It didn't stop there. Jesus provides us with everything we need to accomplish his will and win at this life. So you might be here today going through a battle. I want you to know that Jesus has already won. Now it's your turn to believe. Let me give you one more scripture as the worship team comes on the stage. In Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, Jesus is ascending into heaven. This is not in your notes, but listen to what this says. And Jesus came and spoke to them as he's ascending into heaven, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even to the end of the age. And then he stops it with an amen. What that means is, so be it. Can I challenge you just for a second? Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And we're going to be doing our best as a church, how our pastor thinks, how our worship team thinks. We're going to provide something that you can invite someone to and be proud of it. But you have a part to play. There's so many people in your neighborhoods, on your jobs, in your schools, young people, everywhere around this community that are incarcerated in a spiritual jail that is open if they could just only hear the good news. I want to encourage this church to mobilize and go out and bring someone to church with you so they can hear the gospel of Christ. It's time we stop being afraid. It's time we stop being to ourselves a selfie world. It's time we get out of our comfort zones and walk in the newness of Jesus Christ and do our part to evangelize this world so that others can hear what Jesus did for them. Some of you are here today, and we're getting ready to worship. You ready to worship today? Some of you guys are going through some terrible situations. But I want to tell you, let's follow the example of Christ as he went in on Palm Sunday. Have faith. He's in full control. Maybe God is just waiting on some of you to praise him. Can we all stand for a second here? On that first Palm Sunday, they brought palm branches out there. We don't have palm branches, but God did create us with palms. Some of you need to start using your palms, because the battle has already been won. The war has been won. He's just waiting for his people to figure it out and to walk in the newness of life and to worship him. Let me pray for you real quick. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for Grace Assembly of God. I'm proud of every person in this room. Lord Jesus, I just pray your Holy Spirit would just search every chair, every row, Father God, and move on the hearts of every person. Let them understand, Lord, that you have utterly stripped Satan of his power. You have utterly stripped sin of its power. You have utterly stripped diseases of its power. We have victory in the name of Jesus. I just pray, Lord, that you would give every person in this room a confidence to stand for you, knowing that they are victorious sons and daughters of you. And Lord, let them look at the mountain and say, get behind me in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, the last thing I ask for this morning is that you would give us a heart for lost people. What you did for us, God, may we go out and do something for you. God, we can never repay you what you did on Calvary. But God, you gave us hands and feet and the Holy Spirit. You've empowered us with the armor of God, with prayer, the word. You've empowered us with friends and fellowship with other believers that we can win at this life. But give us a heart for lost people. Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thank you for that first Palm Sunday. You are in full control. You are no victim. You are the victor. And I thank you that you're still victor to today. Now, church family, raise your hands. As we begin to worship God, whatever it is you're facing, begin to proclaim victory. I want you to worship like you've never worshiped before, and let's worship the Lord. Come on, guys, let's worship the Lord. Hosanna.